Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue a bit with that image of the shepherd and the sheep. Have you ever really had time to watch a shepherd or be in his presence and see him caring for the sheep? It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen, to see how clearly the shepherd knows the sheep. He really knows them. He knows the wild ones. He knows the ones who are easily persuaded to go with the larger group. He knows the ones that are timid, the ones that are frightened. He knows them. He knows them all. He knows every detail with them. And especially if he does it as one man who wrote a book entitled The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He was a shepherd, and he had come from South Africa to Canada, and he wrote a beautiful little book on the Psalm 23 entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he speaks about his own experience out there with the sheep in all kinds of weather, and when thieves and marauders and wild animals and all kinds of things came at them. There are differences in personality, how some were drawn to him and some tried to avoid him for a while. All the things that you find in a certain sense in the human condition was there. And Jesus knows that about us. He knows our contradictions. He knows our when we're mixed up. And he's there to take care of us. He's there to show us the way. He's there to feed us. He's there to protect us. But we have to be willing not to stand on the sideline and look, but to enter into his fold, to enter into his flock. That's what he wants, so that he can care for us. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 19 to 26. Those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen, remember, was killed. They stoned him to death. Went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews. There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. For he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And a large number of people was added to the Lord. And then he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Now, I want you to notice that. I want you to see how they were able to draw Saul, who had had that miraculous conversion. They were able to draw for Saul. They brought him to Antioch with them. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a large number of people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Paul, who persecuted them, is now brought in as one of them. His conversion was true and real. But how easy it would have been to block him out. We can't trust him. Look what he did. Look whose deaths he caused. Look at his whole history. We don't want him. Too risky. Too risky. But they forgave him. And they brought him in. Look at that kind of a situation in your own life. How willing are you to forgive? How willing, if it's appropriate, how willing are you to draw them more closely into your circle of people? Or at least to attend an organization that you're part of. Do you isolate and alienate? Well, they deserve it. Look what they did. Or do you forgive and try to draw in. If it's prudence is an important step to really weigh it, is this a good thing to do and to ask God? But if it is, are you ready to draw in? What would have happened to the church without Paul? Yes, God could have supplied. But look, once Paul knew the truth, Saul, once he knew the truth, look what happened. Look at all his gifts and talents and how they were used. There are many people like that among all of us. We're on one side of that fence or the other. Are we going to draw near and forgive and draw in to be part of? Or are we going to keep people isolated and alienated because they hurt us 20 years ago? There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. They were proclaiming everywhere, brothers and sisters. They weren't silent. They knew they could be captured or executed. They knew the truth. And brothers and sisters, you and I have the truth. Do we live it? Do we speak it? Do we encourage others? Do we help them? Psalm 87, all you nations, praise the Lord. God's calling us to all nations. I tell of Egypt and Babylon, says Psalm 87, among those who know the Lord, of Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, and of Zion. They're just mentioning so many countries. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. And the gospel today is the gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Now, if they had simply, if they had just been able to step back and to say, could this be true? But they immediately reacted to him. They were threatened. Their positions were threatened as teachers of the law. They wanted to get rid of him. How many times do we try to get rid of, at least without our sphere of where we live and move and have our being, we don't want any more to do with this person or that person. We want to get rid of them. We want to ignore them and hope they just disappear from the face of the earth. I'm saying that rather strongly, but a number of us have gotten to that place at times. But Jesus made himself available to all of them. And what he said was he wanted to draw them into a relationship with his Father. He wanted to bring them into a relationship with God as Father. Do you seek to bring people into a relationship with our Almighty Father? Do you seek to bring people into a relationship with the one who saved us, Jesus, his Son? Do we believe in the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, who is the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father, that love is given to us with power, with gifts, that we might both preach the gospel and live the gospel. God has given us everything. What do we do with it? Do we put it on a shelf that we look at once a week? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe never. Brothers and sisters, the day will come when we stand before the judgment seat of God. That day is going to come. And Jesus is going to say to us, "Did you seek by the power of the Holy Spirit to know me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Did you seek to know me? Did you spend time with me? Did you read the living word that I have given you that you might know me? Have we done that?" And then God will say to us, "Did you take the gifts I have given you and give them away to those who are in need, to those who are poor, in so many ways, so much poverty, on so many levels? Did you give what I have given you, or did you simply hide it for yourself? Are you really my son or my daughter? Do you know me? Do you seek to follow me? Do you love me?" The Lord is going to ask us those kinds of things. And what is going to be our answer? St. Peter Chrysologus wrote this: "Let us sing joyfully to God our Savior. These are not the words of the sheep, but of the shepherd. But with a sweet, joyful melody and a variety of songs, he leads his flock to pasture, or under a shady grove he gathers the weary sheep to rest, or he encourages them to climb high hills in their desire for better grass, or to make their way downward into the valleys gradually and very carefully. But blessed are those sheep who listen to the voice of their shepherd, who attract it, who foster it, who assemble in his presence, who really do sing joyfully to their shepherd, who strive to increase for the Lord the number of offspring in the flock. Let us stay ahead of his face by confession. And who stays ahead of the one who knows his intentions, scrutinizes hearts, is aware of his thoughts, has foreknowledge of the future, and is present always and everywhere? But we are to stay ahead of the Lord, not by the proximity of our senses, but by a keen, innate attentiveness, and by a confession duly circumspect and humble. In fact, it did not say, let us stay ahead of him, but let us stay ahead of his face by confession." What Peter is saying to us is, if you want to follow him, if you want to hear his voice, live out of a spirit of repentance. Please, every day, repent for what is wrong and seek to follow him. Seek to run after him. And he will draw near to you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, and he will give you the power and the gifts to lead and to guide others, as I so often say, safely home to him. Let us pick up our staff, brothers and sisters, and let us also be the sheep who follow him. God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.